Well, we're turning in our Bibles once again to Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. And our message this evening is of when shepherds meet Jesus. When shepherds meet Jesus. Let's just seek God's help and prayer as we bring the message of the Gospel this evening. Our Father in heaven, we ask that thou be pleased to remember us this afternoon. Help us when we come now to thy word, that as we read it, as we comment upon it, as we study it, as we preach its truths, that we might know help from God. Lord, be our teacher. Instruct us in the things of righteousness and truth. And give us hearts to know and to love and to obey and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Give us new hearts. May we be born again of thy Spirit. We ask our Father for grace. Grace to cover all our sins. Grace to make us anew with God. Bless thy word to our hearts, we pray. Amen. There's a very real danger at this time of year that the real meaning of Christmas can be lost in all of the festivities, in all of the parties, the giving and exchanging of gifts, the tinsel, the Christmas trees, Santa Claus, and all of the rest. There's a very real danger of missing out on our real reason for joy, and that, of course, is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into this world. And even if we do seek to focus upon those things that we consider to be more important, there's a danger there too, in that we have a familiarity with certain things that causes us to gloss over, because we think to ourselves, I've heard that before, I know what it's about, I don't need to give my attention to it. So we need to be careful even when we talk about the shepherds or the angels or the wise men or Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus, because if we're not careful in our handling of these precious truths, the danger is we take it for granted. We know all the details. I guarantee if you've been coming to church at a Christmas season for any length of time at all, you will have heard multiple sermons on each of these events, the coming of the wise men, telling of the shepherds, the birth of the Saviour. And if we're not careful, our familiarity with the Christmas story can cause us to overlook just how important and how amazing it really is. So what I want to do this evening is to seek to challenge you to try and see this story, as it were, for the first time. With this announcement of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to whom does God give this announcement to? Well, who would you expect this announcement to be made to? Well, I think if it was left to you and I, we might have gone first to the king and announced to the king of Israel that there is a new king to be born. We might have went to the temple, to the priests and to the high priest, and informed them that the Messiah had come. But that's not whom God chose to announce the birth of his son. He went to a group of shepherds sitting somewhere in the Jerusalem hills, tending their flocks. The announcement of the birth of the Son of God was not made in a palace. It was not made to a priest in the temple. It was not made known in the journals of the wealthy or amongst the movers and shakers of society, the important people of the land. The announcement of the birth of the Messiah, the chosen one of God, the one who would live amongst us and eventually die upon a cross to deliver his people from their sins, that announcement was made to a group of shepherds. At best, The shepherds were just common, ordinary people. They were not amongst the social elite. At worst, they were vile, dirty, filthy men who, for the most part, were social and religious outcasts. Most likely, these shepherds were tending their sheep somewhere between Bethlehem and Jerusalem. By all accounts, they were probably tending sheep that were going to be raised and used in the sacrifices in the temple in Jerusalem. And these would be the last group of people that you would expect God to make this special announcement to. They were the very group of men chosen to hear the glorious news of the Saviour's birth. And the account that's given to us here in the Bible contains some very important truths. Truths that are still valuable for us to learn today. We find that when the Lord met with these shepherds, and then when these shepherds came down to Bethlehem and met, well, the good shepherd, the shepherd of the soul, their lives are changed forever. And I trust that the Lord will help us to see that with new eyes, with eyes of wonder, this message, this announcement of a child that is born. Now, let me take you first of all to verse 9 of Luke chapter 2 and say something of the astonishment that they experienced. The angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. There they are, tending to their flocks in the fields at night, keeping a watchful eyes over their sheep. Perhaps this was just another night, filled with the same duties as the night before, and the night before that, and the night before that. When all of a sudden, the sky is filled with light, an angel descends from heaven, clothed in glory, and their tranquil evening is shattered, and the Bible tells us they were sore afraid. In other words, they were seized with great fear. You can imagine there's a desire to run away and to hide. They are terrified. And it's no wonder that they're terrified. Imagine seeing what they saw. The angel of God standing before them, coming to this group of despised people, these outcasts from respectable society. Do you know that shepherds were held in such contempt in those days that they weren't even allowed to testify in a court of law? Their word was worth nothing. That's how far down the ladder they were. So far down the social ladder that only lepers were beneath them. And yet God has chosen to show His love and His grace to this group of despised men. Truly our God is no respecter of persons. There's no more respect for kings than He has for shepherds. And that's good for us to know. Sometimes we're tempted to think, I wonder, does God even know that I exist? I'm so low, I'm so small, I'm so insignificant in the grand scheme of things. I'm not amongst the high and the lofty. My name will not be found in print or in flashing lights. Does God even know I'm here? And if He does, He probably doesn't have a very high opinion of me. And deep down, a lot of people think like that. That they think that they're unknown and insignificant to God. Well, God knew all about these shepherds. And there was very few who were more unknown or less significant than them. Yet God knows them, and God has a message for them. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote upon this subject, in 1 Corinthians said, "Brethren, not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base or the lowly things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen." That's why God came to be shepherds. And you can imagine their astonishment when the Lord brings to them a message through the angel that appears. So we can understand their fear. And we can well understand their amazement that the Lord of glory has a message for them. And he has a message for us, of a son that's born, a child that has been given, a saviour that has been promised. The same message that was given to those shepherds still applies today. So we see something of their astonishment. And as they watch in wonder, their hearts gripped with fear, the angel of the Lord has a message. The angel said unto them in verse 10, "Fear not." Fear not. Those were important words, given that they were sore afraid. They've reacted as any normal, ordinary person would, terrified at the prospect. So the first word is a calming word. Fear not. Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Listen to this announcement. You'll notice firstly that it was a personal announcement. For unto you, verse 11, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. Here is a message particularly for you. The message from heaven is that God is interested in you, the individual. He cares about you. He knows about you. When the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, he came as the Savior of the world. But do you ever think that he came to be your Savior? It causes us to rejoice when we hear that the Lord Jesus Christ has come to be a Savior. That he's come to save those whom the Father has given to him. And our hearts rejoice to hear that a Savior has been given. But do we stand in amazement and wonder when we hear that this message is unto you? Unto you. We can well believe that the Lord Jesus Christ has come to save many, but to think that he's come to save me, that he's come with me in mind, that he's come especially from heaven to this world to die on a cross to save me. Unto you is born this day. It's a source of great wonder. The psalmist, as he looks out in the sky, and he looks and sees the stars, the planets, the vastness of the universe, all of these things that speak to the glory of God. And then he thinks about the world that he lives on, the size of it. And what is he but a grain of dust in the whole of the universe? And he says, "What is man? What is man? Just a speck of dust on a lonely planet in a vast universe that's filled with the wonders of God's creation, and to think that God thinks of us." What a wonderful message. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. A Savior. This was not just a personal message, it was a powerful message. A Saviour has been born. A babe born in Bethlehem, but not just a babe. Not just any baby, a special baby. The message of the birth of a baby is not unusual. But this birth was extraordinary. This is one who is the Son of God, born of the Virgin Mary, conceived in her womb by the power of the Holy Ghost. This is a child different from every other child. And we see that certain titles are given to him, expressing his uniqueness. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour. Here is the one who will give his life for the sins of his people. Here is the one who, though he was robed in deity, has chosen now to put on humanity, has come to this world to die upon a cross. He's the one who has come to do what all of the sacrifices that are carried out in the temple, all the lambs, all the bullocks, all the goats, all the blood that was shed that could never take away sin. Here is the one who is born who can truly save. A Savior. One who truly saves. Christ. Unto you is born a Savior, which is Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah, the one who has been promised from the beginning, there in the Garden of Eden, with Adam and Eve in their shame and in their sin, having fallen foul to the temptations of the wicked one. And God tells them that there's one who will come, who will bruise the serpent's head, the Messiah, the long-awaited one, the one who's prefigured and pictured in the sacrifices of the Old Testament, the one whom the prophets said would come and deliver his people, the Christ. Notice also he's called in verse 11, our Lord, a title that identifies him as the Sovereign God. You see, the babe who lies there in the manger in Bethlehem is the same one who spoke the universe into existence. The one who said, let there be light, and there was light. Here's the one who formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Here's the one who controls the paths of the planets and the galaxies. He's the one who permits the movement of all of the workings of creation. The one who is Lord of all. And here he is. A babe in Bethlehem. A helpless little baby. What condescension, what grace, what love, what glory to think that the Almighty God would humble himself to come into this world as a helpless babe in order that he might be our Savior. Is it any wonder the angel said to them, fear not. There's no need to be afraid, for I have good tidings of great joy. A Savior is born, who is Christ the Lord. It may be that you have a heart filled with fear. Maybe it's fear about your health, or fear about your family, or job security, or the economy, or world conditions, any number of fears. But we need not be fearful. We have good tidings of great joy to declare. Why? Because a Savior has been born. The Scriptures have been fulfilled. Christ the Lord has been given. And notice, this is a message that shall be to all people. Not just for you, but for all people. This is not just good news for a privileged few. All through the Scriptures, we find the Lord Jesus saying, whosoever Let him come. Let him come. And all that ever came to Jesus were never turned away. This is a message that shall be unto all people. That's why our Savior, when he spoke to his disciples before he ascended to heaven, said, go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every single person. Let this message be unto all people. And as the angel finishes his announcement, we're told that there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now, instead of there being a single angel before them, now they're completely bewildered, a multitude of the heavenly host. How many do you think? 50? 100? 1,000? You know, elsewhere in the scripture, when you read of the heavenly host, we're told to think of the stars in the sky. I can picture this heavenly host stretched from horizon to horizon, witnessing the amazing event, the greatest event in all of human history, the incarnation of our Savior, God clothed in human flesh. And they began to bring praise unto God. Job tells us in Job 38 and verse 7 that at the creation the angels sang together and the angels shouted for joy. And now again they joined their voices together to welcome the birth of the Savior of men. Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And they tell the shepherds where they will find this babe that's born in the city of David. This shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. I learned something new this week about the swaddling clothes. I was told that when the shepherds that were responsible for tending the flocks that would provide the lambs for sacrifice down in the temple, you know that the sheep, the lambs that they provided, had to be pure, spotless, without blemish, not to be damaged or bruised in any way. So they take the lambs and they wrap them up in swaddling clothes so that they wouldn't bruise themselves or get knocked over or break a leg. And those little lambs will be wrapped up to preserve them, to keep them, so that they can be used as part of the sacrifice. Now you find the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, being prepared in a similar fashion. You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. How did they react to that message? How did they respond to this heavenly good news? Well, they could have debated it. They could have sat down and analysed what they should do. Can we really afford to leave the sheep? What if something happens to them when we're gone? And they could have started talking and debating about what to do and actually do nothing about it. They could have debated the matter. They could have just rejected the notion altogether. They could have said out of hand, that's not for me, I'm not interested, this message is just too unbelievable, let others go and see about it, but as for me, I have no time for all of this religious stuff. Well, they didn't debate it, they didn't reject it, nor did they say, well, it's too far to go to Bethlehem. Perhaps another day. Perhaps we'll go next week sometime. No, they didn't debate. They didn't reject. They didn't doubt. They didn't allow any of those excuses to hold them back from checking out from what they've heard. They chose to believe the message. How do we know that? Because they said, Let us go and see. What? If these things are true? No. Let us go and see this thing that has come to pass. They respond in faith. You know, friend, it's not enough just to hear that a Saviour has been given. It's not enough to be acquainted with the good news and to say, well, that'll be interesting for somebody else to follow up on. We have to respond to the message. Not doubt it, not reject it, not dissect it, not turn away from it, but to go and see. To go and check it out. Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass. It's all well and good to look in nativity scenes and to think of the birth of Christ and to get all kinds of warm and fuzzy thoughts and get sentimental at Christmas and think about the baby Jesus born in the manger in Bethlehem. But it means nothing if you don't go and investigate. What happened next changed their lives. They took the message at face value and they hastened down to Bethlehem and they find the Christ child as they were told. Our only response to God's invitation is to come with great haste to the Lord Jesus Christ. When you hear the good news that there is a Savior that is born who can deliver you from your sins, from judgment, from hell, the message is not to be debated, not to be rejected, it's not to be set aside, it's not to be left for another occasion. It is to come with great earnest to the Lord Jesus Christ and find that salvation for yourself. To hasten down to where the Lord is. And having heard the invitation and responded to it and determined in their own mind to find out whether these things be so, we are told in verse 17 that when they had seen it, when they had seen it, when they investigated for themselves, their lives were transformed. How do I know? Because they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. You see, hearing about the Lord Jesus is one thing, but seeing him for yourself makes all the difference. When they met him, they wanted others to know about him. They told the story abroad. Everywhere they went, they told the people what they had heard and seen. God turned these shepherds into evangelists, into missionaries. He took these shepherds and sent them out with a message of salvation that the Messiah, the chosen one, was born. It's interesting when you consider what they said to the people that they met. They didn't tell them what it was like to meet an angel. They didn't tell anything about the heavenly choir that they heard sing, nor did they dwell upon themselves and their experiences and the fright that they had. Their only interest was in reporting that which was told them concerning this child. The Savior was the theme of their message. And on their way back to their flocks, they told everyone that they met about the babe that changed their lives, about the Savior that had been born. When we meet the Lord Jesus Christ for ourselves by faith, we are transformed. We are changed. We are born again of God's grace, and having experienced the salvation of God, what's our greatest desire? That others might meet him too. To tell others, to tell our friends, to tell our families, to tell our acquaintances about the Savior that we've met. Verse 18 tells us, and all they that heard it That's the message of the shepherds. All they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. I wonder how many people who were told by the shepherds went to see what all the fuss was about. I wonder how many people said to themselves, why don't we go and see for ourselves what this good news that the shepherds are talking about? I hope that there were some who made their way to that manger and humbled themselves before the Lamb of God. The point that I thought of was this, that the shepherds were telling people as they were passing by and then moving on to the next one and making their way onward and telling everyone that they seen, but they didn't always know what happened to the people that they told. And I got to thinking that our duty is to tell people about the Saviour, and it's God's business to save them. We don't always know what happens when we tell others the message of the gospel. Sometimes we're not there to see them respond. We plant the seed by faith and we're not there to see if it grows or not. But God knows. God knows those spoken of in verse 18 who wondered at the things that the shepherds told them. God knows whether they came to meet the Messiah or not. The point is, these men went telling other people about the Savior. Verse 20 tells us that the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. God has filled their heart with a joy that wasn't there before. Coming by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, bowing humbly before Him, the Saviour of the world, acknowledging our great debt of sin, and recognizing that He alone can save us, fills our heart with praise. It fills our mouth with glory for God. And those shepherds return glorifying and praising God. I trust that this Christmas season will be a time of great praise for you. That when all of the other fun and excitement is over, then we have to return to our jobs, to our responsibilities, that we will be like these shepherds. That we will be so full of what happened when we met the Savior that we cannot help but share it with other people. And tell them the good news of a Savior that's born, of the one that we have come in contact with, who has transformed our lives, who has saved us by His grace, that our lives will never be the same again. Oh, that we might have such an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are forever transformed. I imagine, and again it's just my imagination, but you can think for yourselves, meeting these shepherds 10 years, 20 years later, that is still the theme. It's still the thing they talk about. It's still the single greatest event that they've ever experienced. The day they met with Jesus. I know that there are some here that can testify to God's saving grace going back over many years. I don't even want to begin to guess how many years, 50 years, 60 years or so. Isn't it still the single greatest thing that's ever happened to you? The day that God saved your soul. Put praise and thanksgiving in your heart. The day you met with the Savior. How about you? Do you know anything of this joy of this meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ, of coming to Him by faith and bowing before Him and recognizing that He is the Lamb of God, the One who will take away the sin of the world. Can you see this afternoon, He is my Savior too? Can I say that if you're not able to say that, if you're not in a position where you can say that the Lord is my Savior, that you come to Him while He calls, come by faith. I can't save you, but I can point you to one who can. That God is calling, and His Spirit has made you willing. Come and speak to me. See me afterwards. Say, I'd like to speak to you for a few moments. And let's make this Christmas season a time of great rejoicing over heaven's greatest gift, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow in prayer. Gracious Father, we ask that Thou would speak to every heart this afternoon. Cause each and every one to examine themselves before God and ask whether or not they are in the faith. Have they that trust in Jesus Christ? Are they born again of Thy Spirit? Our Father, should there even be one, even one who is not saved, draw them unto Thyself this day, we pray. Give them eyes to see the wonderful Savior that's been given. Give them a new heart, so that they can turn away from sin and trust in Jesus Christ. May they go on their way today rejoicing in the Savior that's been born. Bless Thy word to every heart, we pray, through Christ our Savior. Amen.